Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, if you have a problem, you need a solution. You can't just be spreading problems right and left. You got to come up with a solution. And I have one. I have a plan. And I want to share it with you. Now, the Red Sox lose tonight at Yankee Stadium 10-1. The bullpen has another night of hot vomit all over the mound. Now, this was mostly David Price's poor performance, but let's not overlook Joe Kelly and his El Stinkeroo performance out of the bullpen. He came in, pitched the third of an inning, gave up three hits, couple of runs, see you later, out of here for Joe Kelly. And so the question is, how can the 2018 Red Sox avoid postseason bullpen Armageddon? That's the question. We're going to hear from Alex Cora in a moment, but I have a three-pronged strategy, and I'm giving this out free. Now, normally, I charge a lot of money for this kind of wisdom and this kind of advice, but I'm doing it as a public service on the airwaves of WEEI. So here's my perspective, right? You've got the leading men, the Band-Aid, and the Axiom, all right? And we'll link all this together. Now, number one, my theory on the best way to dodge suspect relief pitching to avoid the meltdown is obvious. Let's not overthink this. You don't pitch them as much. The lion's share of the pressure on the Red Sox is not on the bullpen, because you know the bullpen's not going to get it done. The lion's share of the pressure on this Red Sox team going into the playoffs in a couple of weeks is the aces, the three aces. The longer, the more successful they are on the mound, the less you have to bring in the Keystone Cops with double bags of gasoline in their backpack. You don't have to worry about it. This is also problematic. Now, the old phrase, the fish rots from the head down. And this postseason is dependent on Chris Sale, David Price, who got lit up tonight, and Rick Porcello. Those are the leading pitchers, right? Those are the leading men for the Red Sox. We can all agree on that. Maybe not so much Porcello, but certainly Chris Sale and the way David Price has pitched overall, not in this particular game. And so, you know, if you avoid the bullpen, you also avoid the need to run to the bottle. You know, and the numbers are those. David Price, Chris Sale, and Porcello combined are 0-11 in 14 postseason starts, and they have an ERA of over 6. And Eduardo Rodriguez, who's pitching on Thursday, he has never started a postseason game. And so you're trying to battle these playoff demons and reinvent yourself in October. But it is crucial that these guys become the beacons for the Red Sox in the playoffs. Otherwise, the walls will be caving in. So, yes, the first prong of my three-prong strategy is to avoid the bullpen altogether as much as you possibly can and just go with dominant starting pitching, which, of course, is what you'd prefer. Now, the second thing, the bullpen has gotten progressively worse. The numbers are there. You don't have to have me remind you. They're all over the place. But even with that bullpen being as shaky as it's been, entering Wednesday, the Red Sox had the top record in baseball when they were leading after six innings. It doesn't feel that way. It does not feel that way because it feels like the Red Sox bullpen has been just one debacle after another. But that hasn't been the case. The Red Sox are 81-6 when they lead after six innings. So what does that tell you? That tells you they played a lot of bad teams, but it also tells you that is a path. That is a sign. If you're looking for signs, you got to get a minimum of six innings from Price, Sale, Porcello. You got to. Six effective innings. When leading after six innings, the Red Sox have a 931 winning percentage. When they're tied after six innings, they're 13-3. But when the Red Sox have trailed, they're 10-39. Nobody wins a lot when they trail after six innings. And those numbers are skewed. I realize they're skewed because, let's be real here, you go back to April, May, June, and part of July, the Red Sox bullpen was effective. It was so effective that Dave Dombrowski felt like he didn't have to make a trade at the deadline. And there were two deadlines that Dave Dombrowski punted on. Not only the non-waiver trade deadline, which was July 31st, but also the deadline to get players eligible for your playoff roster, which was a month later. And the Red Sox GM decided, no, I'm not going to do it. I believe in the players that I have. And so far, those players have backfired. They have. The Sox relief pitchers have a stinky earned run average of 4.35. That's going to go up after the game tonight against the Yankees. They lead baseball. This is all in September. Lead baseball in blown saves in September. So you can stack on some more earned runs for the bullpen. In addition, since the All-Star break, the Red Sox bullpen has 12 blown saves. That is tied with the Marlins for the most of the majors. Now, you don't want to be tied with the Marlins in anything. You don't want your name associated with the Miami Marlins. You don't. But that's the reality. Right? And here's some more reality. If you are depending on your bullpen, even if the Red Sox had a good bullpen, talking about the middle part, and you're depending on them to pitch four-plus innings or three-plus innings in most of these games, it is a bridge to nowhere. It is a bridge to nowhere is what it is. So what's the solution? Since Dombrowski did not do his job of addressing the bullpen, you have to go to contingency plans. And so I say what you do here is you bring in the starters. And I believe that's what the Red Sox ultimately are going to do. Now, they're coy about this. And I know before the game, Alex Cora was asked about it. And he is like, well, it depends on the matchups and all that. No, it doesn't. Listen to me. Okay? Here's what you do. Nathan Eovaldi, who granted has been spotty. I think that's a polite way of saying it. But he was good against the Yankees last night. You've got to put Eovaldi in the bullpen. You got to give him an opportunity. You put him out there. Eduardo Rodriguez is another guy as a bridge in the bullpen. And the way that the rest of these clowns have pitched, I am not against putting Stephen Wright in the bullpen. I had a caller last time I was in here. One of the last times I was in here said, put Stephen Wright out there. And I was like, well, you don't usually want to do that because it's a knuckleball pitcher. It could come in and not have the feel of the knuckleball and start, you know, throwing wild pitches all over the place. But the desperate times call for desperate measures, and the Red Sox have to. There's no other options. You want to see Joe Kelly in a seventh inning of a game against Oakland or the Yankees or down the line against the Astros? Is that what you want to see, Joe Kelly there? Come on. And then the other thing, not only do I do that, which I think it's kind of obvious here, the Red Sox have to do that with the starters who aren't going to be getting regular starts in the playoffs in the bullpen. But you then also have to expand Craig Kimbrell's role. And this becomes problematic, right? This becomes a problem because that's not something he's used to doing. Right? In playoffs, you all hands on deck and all that. And so you're going to be pitching the eighth and ninth inning. You know, you have to get six outs, not just the standard three outs. Now, Kimbrell's recorded more than three outs in a game. How many times this year? Five. That's it. Five times. He's been pretty much a standard three-out pitcher. Five times for the Red Sox this year, he's pitched more than three outs. And in those, three of those opportunities, he did get saves. He did blow a save, and he got a win in one of the other outings.
Is that from StatCast? Or?
Yeah, that's from my computer-like mind. Or it's from something I looked up on the internet. Either way, might or might not be from the Red Sox game notes. I don't know. But anyway, you get the point. All right, So here's the plan, three-prong plan, right? Your starters have to go longer in the game. You bring in the starters that aren't in the rotation. You fill out your bullpen with Eovaldi, Rodriguez, and Wright. And you got to pitch them. You got to pitch them in the playoffs. You got to have confidence in them. They got to do it. They, you know, the team needs them to do this. They need those guys to rise up. Otherwise, who are you going to throw out there? You know, Matt Barnes, all right, Joe Kelly. These are the guys. These are the guys here. All right, Matt Barnes. I know he's hurt. He's going to come back. When he's pitched, he's been a large pus-filled cyst. His ERA is over 6 in the second half. Joe Kelly, his last 7 appearances, has given up 7 runs. The writing is on the wall. It's right in your face. Right in your face. This is what you do, okay? That's what you do. All right, the last thing, we'll hear from Alex Cora, and we'll take these phone calls as well, get your thoughts. If you would like to call in here, all things Red Sox on the late-night program and Red Sox Review and all that combined, morphed into one. 617-779-7937. It is a Drew Johnson production in association with WEI. 617-779-7937 if you would like to be part. Just one final footnote, if you will. The postseason, which starts in a couple weeks, crapshoot, right? Baseball more than all the other sports. It's the drama is one of the 8 pillars of joy, right? To think about what's going to happen. You think you know, but you don't know what is going to happen. Like the expectation is if you say, what are the Red Sox going to do? Well, their bullpen's going to suck. They'll score a bunch of runs, and their starters are going to be kind of shaky. So they're going to have to outscore teams in the playoffs. Right? The Red Sox have scored over 5 runs 84 times. This season, when they score 5 or more runs, they have a 75-10 record this year. And when they don't score 5 runs or more, they are 10 games under 500. That tells you what has happened. It's one of my favorite axioms. It tells you what has happened, not what's going to happen. That the old line about stats. So if you're an optimist, like that first guy that we took earlier, then you say, oh, that doesn't matter. And that's true. All right, let's hear from Alex Cora, and then I promise we'll take these phone calls. I see them backed up. You guys are standing by. This is Alex Cora tonight. He addressed David Price. He addressed Eduardo Nunez, who got hurt, came out of the game in the 9th inning. His knee flared up again. And let's hear from the Red Sox manager following tonight's loss to the Yankees.
Before the game, we talk about keeping the ball in the ballpark, and we didn't today, you know. And it really doesn't matter where you play. We know where we play, and we hit in the same place, and they hit three home runs to right field. So besides that, I think command was good. You know, he made some good pitches. We didn't make a play behind him. I think that was obviously costly. But, I mean, Voit, fastball way off the play. He hits out of the ballpark, and then a changeup hits out of the ballpark. So we accomplished a few things. Obviously, you know, it wasn't the result that we were looking for, but I think he did okay. You know, he wasn't his best one, you know, compared to the last ones, but, you know, he did okay.
How's that, Nunez?
Kind of like he felt it a little bit when he was running to first. So he decided, you know, to make sure we treat him. He's not going to play tomorrow, obviously. We're going to take care of him, but should be something minor. I mean, nothing too serious, but he, you know, first thing he said, if they hit a ball in the gap, I'm gonna get going. I don't want to get hurt, so. I think it was a smart thing to do.
How about Sam Travis?
Sam, when he came back, AT saw him and, you know, he wasn't feeling too good. So he came inside and actually the doctor saw him. So there's no concussion, but he was a little bit dizzy. So that was all. But he made a great play. I mean, the whole thing that happens, you know, like to see those kids play that way at the end, you know, it's good. You know, it's good that they're playing hard, putting good at bats, regardless of the results. So that's something positive out of it today.
Alex, David's had a phenomenal second half. Those numbers are great, but yet his numbers at Yankee Stadium remain troublesome, coupled with his postseason record. Would this game tonight have any bearing on how you set up postseason assignments?
No, not really. We know where we at with those two guys. You know, they're like our number one and number two. With Chris and David, I honestly feel that although he didn't have his great stuff compared to the last 8-9, I guess he still battled. And you know, we didn't make a play, and then the fly balls happened. But yeah, he's not going to change my mind.
You kind of feel like it wasn't as bad as the numbers would show.
I feel that way. I do feel that way. Mislocation on the Andujar one. It was supposed to be up and in. It was up out of the plate, and you know he stayed inside the ball and hit it out of the ballpark. But honestly, the ones to void, they were good pitches. It's just, you know, he's a big guy. You know, that's what he does. You know, he's doing some damage against lefties, and he just hit it out of the ballpark.
The offense overall has just kind of been scuffling a little bit of late. I guess just what have you seen in the past?
Yeah, there's been a few at-bats early in the game that in these two games that we had chance to score right away. We got man a third with less than two outs, and we haven't been able to cash in. So that's something that we'll talk about it, you know, and it's always good to get the lead. I think we're a pretty good ball club doing that. And there's certain bats, infield back to strikes, you know, just put the ball in play. Get the runner in and keep moving forward. So we'll talk about it.
The power numbers, the home run numbers have been down this month. What do you kind of attribute that to?
There's a few guys struggling, we know, and we face some good pitching too lately. So it's a combination of both. I do think that sometimes we get into passive at the plate. You know, we're taking 20 pitches right in the middle, which I think they're bad takes. We talk about it the whole season. So get back to look for pitches in the middle of the zone and try to do damage with it. I think that's very important for us.
I should probably get a clinch at some point, but I mean, how disappointing is this to drop these first two just on the cusp of clinching?
Nah, it's disappointing because what we set to do in every series is to win it. So. We don't have to. We don't have a chance to win the series. So, show up tomorrow. We know where it's stakes. We got Tanaka. He's been throwing the ball well. We got Eddie. You know, try to win the game and you know, make it a happy flight.
All right, there it is, Alex Cora. A couple of takeaways from that, and this is just a pet peeve of mine, and it probably means nothing to you, but I need to say this. Now, I know from being when I first started in radio, I was a scrub radio reporter, and I heard a leading question, and my radar went off. I don't know who it was, but somebody asked Alex Cora, so you thought he didn't pitch as bad as the numbers. That is the ultimate leading question. I'm paraphrasing, but because what is the manager going to say? No, I thought he was worse than that. I thought he sucked. I thought he – let's be reasonable. Right? Anyone's going to say, well, yeah, I thought he pitched better than the numbers. And then I like the fact that Alex Cora – we've had some callers who have pointed out the offense. I've gotten some guys, I'm reading some of your comments on Twitter, and you are less than overwhelmed with the way the Red Sox offense has been. And I will give Alex Cora credit. He didn't back down from that one. The offense has not been playing very well lately. And he pointed out, and he didn't name names because you never name names, but he did mention the fact that some of the guys are being too passive and that is a problem for the Red Sox offense. That they're not being aggressive enough, that they are, I don't know what the right phrase is. He used passive or bad takes is what he used. But, yeah, you've got to be locked in. You can't be taking every pitch because you'll be walking back to the dugout with the bat on your shoulders. All right, let's go to the phones. And Sean in Worcester is up first here, as it is the late night with me, Ben. What's going on, Sean?
Hey, what's up, Ben?
Hello.
Hey, listen, I got two questions for you. Do you think Dombrowski is right for this job? Because when he was in Detroit and he had the good teams that could have won the World Series, he didn't build the bullpen, and he didn't build the bullpen him.
Well, listen, he does have the greatest regular season team in Red Sox history. I don't know. What do you want me to say? You're not a fan. I can tell by your question. You're not a fan.
I am a diehard. I'm a diehard Red Sox.
No, I don't mean that. But I'm saying you're not a Dombrowski guy. You sound like you're turned off by Dombrowski. Is that accurate?
No, he seems like he doesn't want to spend the money to actually build a bullpen and get some actual talent out there.
See, I don't think that's the problem, because if you look at most bullpens, once you make a lot of money as a relief pitcher, that means you're old. You got to find young guys that are good, and he has swung and missed. Clearly Dombrowski is. It's like they've had an open casting call the last month or so in the bullpen with who they have in the organization, and trying to get an assessment on these guys, and it hasn't been good. But you look at some of the players they brought in.
His way of building a bullpen the last couple of years is bringing in like Brad Ziegler and all that and everything like that. And, you know, those are no-name pitches. We need some kind of a big-name pitcher. Well,
Who do you want? Who would you like them to get? They have Kimbrel, who's one of the top pitchers.
They could have went out after Ozuna, but they didn't want to go after Ozuna because of the domestic violence.
Sean, you know what would have happened if the Red Sox had traded for Ozuna? The kind of blowback and pushback that would have taken place? I mean, I get what you're saying. You're like, I don't care. Who cares? The guy's a good pitcher. And the Astros, who I love the Astros because the Astros who traded for Ozuna while saying they have a zero tolerance on domestic violence acquired a guy that committed domestic violence. It's wonderful. All right. So you wanted Ozuna. I'm looking at all these other pitchers that changed teams. Another Brad Hand, would that have been a pacifier? I'm not defending Dombrowski. I'm just merely pointing out that he's put together a pretty good Red Sox team, but the bullpen is the weakest link at this point. And he didn't do anything. It's fair. That's a fair criticism of Dombrowski. That his job is to fortify the roster. They didn't fortify the bullpen. And so now they have to fortify it with guys that are in the rotation that aren't normally relief pitchers and put them in the bullpen and hope that they don't gag when they get the opportunity. All right, we'll shift gears a little bit. We'll get into the Patriots and the first peek at Josh Gordon in a Patriot uniform, and everyone had something to say. Although I want to focus in on something that Rob Gronkowski had to say because I thought that was pretty interesting. We'll get to that. We'll take some more phone calls as we continue, and we'll do it. We'll do it next.
Are there any moments where you start to get excited about the potential of being on the same field? Two guys who have a lot of size and speed, yourself and Josh.
Yes, I mean, that's good. Definitely. And I mean, really can't really worry about what's going on. I mean, I got to really focus on what I got to do, too. So, and being here, I mean, there really isn't too much excitement at all. So, I don't know.
Why not?
So I don't know. Getting excited is kind of scary.
But you sort of bring the excitement, no?
I mean, I try.
All right, that was the soundbite that is being microanalyzed from the Patriots practice today. Rob Gronkowski, you heard what he said. We'll microanalyze it, but the first day of the Josh Gordon era with the Patriots. Will it be a short-term era? Will it be a long-term era? Well, there's a lot of curiosity. I was in here Sunday night, and there were some odds that I got, and the odds indicated that it was between the Cowboys and the Patriots to get Josh Gordon. And it turned out they were right. The Patriots won. They were the favorite to get Josh Gordon in a trade. They got him. He wore the Patriots uniform for the first time, and you know the odds are certainly against him keeping his nose clean based on his track record, but the Patriots are willing to give him a chance. And so you hear these pretty excited people talking about Josh Gordon and the elation, the eagerness to find out whether or not he can play. And then you hear Rob Gronkowski, who, you know, if you weren't paying attention, we played that soundbite there. He said being here, there isn't too much excitement, talking about the Patriots locker room. And then he had that awkward laugh, the chuckle there at the end. And so there are some, I've been seeing this online, there have been some of these deep thinkers on social media who are going way off the deep end and parsing over these words to find a deeper meaning. Right? There's something else going on here. So like why didn't Gronk, why didn't he say more positive things and all that stuff? Because he didn't really take the bait, right? He said, being here, there isn't too much excitement. You know, he said, give a little chuckle and all that stuff. So, again, did Gronk have some kind of hidden meaning with that answer? And the answer I have is no. I have a couple of thoughts. This is very straightforward. It is standard operating procedure, and then you've got the probability, right? And we'll get into the probability in a minute, but we'll begin with this. You know, Rob Gronkowski is a lot of things. He's, when he's on his game, amazing to watch. He wasn't on his game in Jacksonville. But one thing that no one's ever said about Rob Gronkowski is he's complex, right? Yeah, let's be honest. I mean, listen, everyone improves on the team if Josh Gordon turns out to be a boom and not a bust. If he's able to keep his nose clean and play, then he's going to make a lot of plays. When he's played on some terrible football teams, he has been able to make contributions. That's how it goes. And I know I've seen a lot. I've seen some former Patriots. People have been saying, hey, receivers get overwhelmed, and Josh Gordon's going to be overwhelmed. It is stunning that the Patriots were able to beat the Texans because they have no one, now with Edelman out, no one that scares you at the wideout position. And but as far as Gronk, just to put the bow on that, I mean, he's as transparent as you can be. What you see is what you get. Gronk's got a Hall of Fame career going at tight end. He's a goofball. He's a dork. He's been mostly restrained by Bill Belichick. And I imagine that while Gronk was at the dais there, he was wishing he could have had his BMX outfit on. Remember when he showed up with the BMX outfit a while back? Yeah. Secondly, right, this whole mantra, and it's infected everybody. It's the way they do business. The Patriot players have been programmed like robots to show no outward enthusiasm over player additions. This is common knowledge. So for the media intellectuals who are methodically combing over all of these interviews, and especially involving Gronkowski, and making a big deal, no. He was simply trying to follow the Patriot way and publicly show no joy, or if you do, you suffer the repercussions. Never be caught off guard. Let them never see you happy. That is standard operating procedure. You know that, I know that, and the Patriot players know that. Now, the final word on this. How do you think Josh Gordon's actually going to do? Is he going to play on Sunday? Is he going to be out there Sunday night? Yes, you put him out there. I know he was limited at practice. He had the hamstring injury, supposedly had a photo shoot, wink, wink. But he did clear a physical. I assume the Patriots gave him a physical, which might have been, hey, let me make sure you still have a pulse. That could have been the physical. But the chances he doesn't get caught up in haze and weed, you know, this haze of weed and booze and all that, the probability is he probably will, right? The chances that he doesn't get caught again and end up back in a rehab facility is like plus 2,000, which implies about a 5% probability. But when he plays, the chances that he makes an impact, like minus 600. He's going to make plays when he plays, when he gets out on the field. And I just want to address again this idea that it is impossible that Gordon can play because of the elaborate game plan the Patriots have, the very sophisticated offense. Stop, okay? Just stop. It's not written in Pig Latin. And here's what you do, okay? I got the answer for you. You know what you do? You say, Josh Gordon, you don't have to learn the playbook, okay? You don't. I'm going to put you out there for a handful of plays, and I am going to have you run the seam route is what I'm going to do, okay? That is as basic football as it gets. Any wide receiver, you can drag them off the street if they played the wide receiver position. You say, hey, you run the seam route. You can do it. You tell Josh Gordon, you run straight upfield towards the end zone. You blow past the defensive back. Tom Brady will throw the ball. You will catch the ball. It'll be, you know, whatever, you know, yardage you get or a touchdown. It's paint by numbers. So, all right, anyway, we'll take your calls on that if you want to talk about the comments out of Patriot land. How about the locker? Some people making a big deal about the fact that Josh Gordon, they put his locker near Tom Brady. Now, let me ask you this. Legit question. Was that intentional, or was that merely because Josh Gordon is wearing number 10 and Tom Brady wears number 12? So, So are they locker mates essentially because they have the uniform number and they just go by uniform number? Is that how it works, or is there a deeper meaning to this? I don't know. I mean, maybe there is a deeper meaning. Kind of like when we take phone calls from Blair in Maine. There's always a deeper meaning when Blair in Maine is on the air. Hello, Blair.
What's going on, Ben? Man. I've been having some tough times with Mom, okay?
Uh-oh.
I come home and I give her a tough time. I cuss her out. I do different things. I got to treat my mom with better respect.
Now, why would you cuss your mom out? What did your mom do to deserve that?
She doesn't deserve anything for me to say things I said to her today.
What are you upset about? Did you go fishing and not catch anything, Blair? What happened with you?
No, I went to the library for 3.5 hours. She's starting to put time limit on me at the library.
What are you doing at the? Why don't you stay home?
I start to chat with girls.
You're picking up girls, Blair? Really?
These are hookers, okay?
Wait, time out.
Sorry. They are. Really
what crazy. Library? I've never been to a library
each
where.
Each time I go on, Ben, they're asking me for a private chat, and I just say no.
You're on the computer.
I don't want to give my money up. I don't want to waste my money.
Blair, I was going to ask you what library in Maine the hookers hang out at, but you're online. Okay, so you're on the computer, and you see attractive girls. Let me tell you the first rule of the internet, Blair, okay? I'm like Uncle Ben to you. Listen to me.
Yeah.
Any attractive woman that talks to you on the internet is about a 95% chance it's a dude, number one. Number two, it's a spammer that wants your credit card information because they want to make some money. So just say no. All right? That's my advice.
That's what I've been saying is N-O. And I say, are you trying to run away with the money? Are you trying to just get the money and run? Or what are you guys trying to do here? Because this is totally wrong. It's just the guys go in private chat, and then they give you the money, and then nothing really happens. And I don't even see a picture. I don't know who it is behind the picture. And Blair, if anybody asks... some baseball.
Oh, thank you. If you get an email from someone asking for your mom's bank information, don't respond to that either, okay?
I won't either, no.
Even if they promise you like $1 million, probably not a good idea.
Oh, heck no.
Yeah, exactly.
You think we're all nuts here in Maine?
Only some. Yes. All right. Thank you, Blair.
Thank you, Blair.
That's pretty good, Drew. It's up there. It's in this top 10 moments, you know. Got in a fight with Mom. What were you doing? I was at the library. What were you doing at the library? I was there for 3.5 hours. Why were we there for 3.5 hours? I was talking to hookers. Yeah. Oh. Oh, they were online, of course. He rarely disappoints, Blair. that might have been his most brilliant performance to date. Well, quite the story that the Red Sox ended up getting a New York politician in trouble. How about that? This happened today. We'll explain. We'll get to that, and we will do it next. Well, quite the story here it's not going to match Blair in Maine's story, which he just shared, but this comes from the tabloid, the New York Post. Earlier today, the mayor of New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio, in trouble. He secretly met with Red Sox brass for 90 minutes today. They had a 90-minute power lunch in Manhattan, and it was actually at the offices of Goldman Sachs. The New York Post has all the seedy details here. Apparently the mayor, I didn't know this, but the mayor of New York's a huge, lifelong Red Sox fan, and they're hanging out, assuming having a nice catered lunch, Dave Dombrowski and Alice Cora, among others, who met with the mayor of New York for 90 minutes. About that, a spokesman for the mayor of New York confirming, saying it's true. The hush-hush meeting did take place. It was not listed on the mayor of New York's public schedule, but sure enough, it happened. And the politicians in New York, the mayor's assistant there, trying to spin this, a spokesman for the mayor said that they were actually meeting over the Red Sox Foundation. They were focusing on that. Yeah, you want to bet that that's not what the meeting was about. You want to bet the meeting was about, hey, I really love the Red Sox. Who's going to be in the bullpen? Mr. Core, tell me who's going to be in the bullpen there. Can you let me know? Now, the CEO of Goldman Sachs is also a he's not a Red Sox fan. He's a Yankee fan. And apparently he used to sell hot dogs at Yankee Stadium. He was not at the meeting. He was observing the Jewish holiday. So, wow.
I think they're just going to have the World Series parade in New York for all the Red Sox fans from New York.
That's a good idea. There you go, Drew. They could have it. You know, the mayor can give the Red Sox the key to New York if they win the World Series this year. Good job by you, Drew. Thank you. A Drew Johnson production. Good job, and thank you for listening. I've got my overnight show over at Fox Sports Radio later on, but keep it locked right here on WEEI. Have a good night.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.